Roger then.
Roger that. On that note, I want to welcome everybody to this special edition of The World According to That Man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. I want to welcome the Rumblers, the Ranthers. I want to welcome everybody that's all the truthers. And from the bottom of our hearts,
God bless you, gentlemen.
From the bottom of our hearts, thank you to the people of truth. I want to remind everybody you can find us at benstein.substack.com. Obviously, on truth, you can find Ben Stein all over. That's who Ben Stein is.
God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, sir.
And I want to thank the people that helped the show. If it weren't for people like Rock Breath and Ben Boychuk and Adam King, sometimes there wouldn't be a show. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You do yeoman's work.
Yeoman's work.
I'll speak for all of them tonight and say thank you.
And, well, God bless you. Thank you. Thank
we
you
have
very
the
much.
Honor.
Thank you.
We have the honor of, right off the bat, according to Trafalgar polls, Doug Mastriano, future governor of the great state of Pennsylvania, is only
yes.
up by 3 points. So going
which
by
means
polling
he's up
averages,
by six.
That, right.
You're up five. Doug Mastriano, who a colonel in the United States Army for over 21 years, served Operation Desert Storm, Operation Iraqi Freedom, and welcome back to the world, according to Ben Stein, future governor.
World, which wouldn't exist except for men and women like you.
Well, thank you. It was my honor to serve. I did not want to do anything else in life but be a soldier in my country's service. So after retiring back a few years ago, I could not ride off into the sunset like so many colonels do. So here we are in the metaphorical fight for freedom. The lefties, I'm not talking about physical violence. Metaphorically, we're fighting for freedom. So
we have to clarify that.
We're fighting for freedom, period. I think we're fighting for freedom, period. I mean, the way the Biden administration rides roughshod over the Constitution, I think we're fighting for freedom, period. The Biden administration has no respect for freedom. They have respect for buying votes by throwing around the taxpayers' money.
Completely right, and we are going to get into that. And thank you, of course, Adam King, who is in one square I'm not familiar with. If you're watching
where,
on the show, I don't know what square he's on.
Where are you, Adam? Where are you?
I'm in my living room by my payphone.
But wait a second. Judah just mentioned something about you being in a square.
No, you know, when you're watching the show, I never know where people
are. Oh, I see. Okay. Well, God bless you, sir.
But, of course, Adam King, the former prince of PICO, and from the bottom of our hearts, thank you. And I got to tell you something, Doug. Before I introduce Ben, Adam, we'll use some Yiddish words tonight. Adam could King could nudge 4% of that vote for you. Get Adam King on your campaign, and he will get you. He will nudge 4% of that vote. That's the greatest compliment. But
Thank you very much.
Of course, the show wouldn't be complete without America's humble servant, former speechwriter to three presidents. Let's just say it, Emmy Award winner. Former shoe salesman, most importantly, a husband, but second most importantly, he is the doctor, Benjamin Jeremy Stein.
All day long, I have been working on an incredibly great idea, which is to put some sense of moral responsibility into the Democrat leadership, and leadership, if we can call it that, in Congress. It has not worked so far. The Democrat leadership in Congress seems to be allergic to moral responsibility. It just keeps rejecting every time you try to implant it.
Well said. And Doug, right off the bat, I just want to get
sure,
into something
sure.
because when my mother calls me with an issue and she's a little, and my mother called me and, you know, obviously you're a friend of the show and there were these reports out. Everybody's an anti-Semite. And Ben, and I'll let you go in a second, but Ben shared the most brilliant video this week about after he did the most brilliant and excellent expelled, no intelligence allowed, the things that he was called.
Yeah, the best part was when I said that Hitler was a great fan of Darwin, which is true, and the leading Nazis were great fans of Darwin, and the early Darwinians sincerely believed that the Jews, as a race, so to speak, had to be eliminated. And when I reported on that, which involved quoting from Darwin himself, I was called a friend of the Nazis. So there's no limit to the depths these people will go to.
The depravity. And Doug, and I was talking with Ben about this. by every metric, no matter what you do, you could be accused of something. And
always because every human being in some way is connected to every other human being, no matter how far the connection is.
Well said. And Doug, you're running against a progressive liberal, Josh Shapiro, and everything that's said on the show tonight are viewpoints of us, not of Doug. I don't want him to get into any more trouble, but he's about saying certain things, but we'll say it and I'll say it. And we'll have the chutzpah to say it. And Doug, you're running against a guy, he's a governor. I don't believe he's ever called out people in his own party for being actual anti-Semites, actual.
Violently anti-Semitic.
Yeah. Doug.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and thanks for bringing it up. We have the squad out there that you pointed out. They stand against Israel. And, you know, Alexandria Cortez doesn't even know what she's talking about when asked about the situation in Israel, you know, between Israel, Gaza, and the West Bank.
Absolutely.
And called that. And the thing she says and stands for is antithetical to American support to the great nation of Israel. You know, so, you know, a lot of people want me to constantly respond to, you know, the latest allegation by the media, especially the Inquirer, who fangirls for Josh Shapiro or from Josh Shapiro's latest. It's all a distraction. I mean, the fact of the matter is Josh Shapiro has been our attorney general for 6 years. He has a record that he can't run on. And, you know, for me, I just focus on the facts. John Adams said, of course, our second president, that facts are stubborn things. And the fact is, as our attorney general, crime has gone up 37% on his watch. Crime
is a frightening fact. That's frightening fact.
I mean, Philadelphia is so dangerous. When Josh Shapiro won his election for AG in 2016, there was 277 homicides in Philly now annually. Now we're talking about 600. I mean, you guys.
Incredible, Doug, incredible.
And he is the senior law enforcement official of our state. And so has crime gone down? Are our cities safer under him? And they're not. We're the 12th highest in the nation for homicides. We're 8th in overdose deaths, 4th specifically in fentanyl deaths. And that's not even talking about the sex trafficking going on. I mean, the guy's a train wreck, and we can't afford to have him as our governor. And we're going to beat him. You mentioned the Emerson poll that had me 3 points down. I mean, I agree. That actually means we're probably 5 points up.
But you need seven. That's the thing.
That's
true.
You need
that 5-point spread. You need the 5-point spread where they can't cheat. And to everybody listening tonight, I'm curious, Doug, how much has the RNC given you, and how do people that are listening give to you? Because I know the RNC is probably not your biggest supporter.
I do believe that the RNC will be forthcoming in September, which is coming up. The RNC and the Republican Governors Association, I mean, I had good experiences with the RGA, Republican Governors Association. We'll see. They're looking at the polls. They're seeing competitive races. And that's why it's important we talk about Emerson poll and Trafalgar. It shows us, you know, in a statistical dead heat. And so I'll know for sure in a couple weeks, you know, how much we're going to get from the RGA or the RNC, but you give directly to my campaign is the best way. You know, go to DougForGov.com and just donate online or send a check.
You know, Doug, I want to say that not all help needs to be in the form of money, and the Republican Party could be doing a lot more for you. And as Republicans, we all see it.
Well said. And Adam King will be on the ground tomorrow. And he actually would be. But Ben, I want to get to you on this, because this is a really nasty thing, and it's really hard for candidates, because once you're labeled these days, and I understand exactly what Doug is saying, and he's a very humble person, he's a person that served this country with dignity and with pride and with honor and distinction. And Ben, to be called and labeled
courage.
And Ben, to be called these things, it's out there, and it's hurtful. And it's harmful.
It's shameful. It's a wicked, cowardly way of waging a campaign. And let's face the facts. This is a man who fought with a gun or a bayonet or explosives. He fought where his life was on the line. He's fighting against people who fight with gossip, and they're way, way, way behind any lines, and there's no risk to them at all. So they are attacking a man who has demonstrated courage, demonstrated patriotism, demonstrated with the risk of his life And he's fighting against people who will gossip, basically waging a campaign of gossip.
That's the only platform that they're running on, too, in Pennsylvania. They don't want to talk about the issues because he's failed every issue. But that's why he wants to lower it to the lowest common denominator. What does everybody hate? An anti-Semite. So that's what they're going to label Doug as. And that's the only thing that they're going to focus. And all their media allies are going to circle around this and bombard it and censor anything that says he's not an anti-Semite. And Doug, I wanted to just point out, you actually disavowed Andrew Torba, didn't you? And nobody's picking that up.
Yeah, I had to leave his platform because he's engaging the media. You know, we did advertise on the platform. He's got like a million subscribers and, you know, didn't see any issues there. But when he was asked questions by the media, I was not canceled. I decided, because no, that doesn't reflect my position there. But here's one thing. The ADL, Anti-Defamation League, did research. And in 1 year period of time, they found they claim there's 4.2 million anti-Semitic tweets on Twitter.
Wow.
So I'm calling for Josh Shapiro to get off that anti-Semitic platform. You see, you know, where does this stop exactly? So
and to be, that's a great question. And Ben Stein, where does it stop? And it doesn't, I don't know how, where does, how does it stop, Ben?
My wifey, Alex, I mean, we've met Judah thousands of times. She has a very smart point. Now, her father, by the way, was also an army colonel, God bless him, West Point class of 1944, went virtually, not right away straight, but within days, straight to Europe to fight against the Nazis, and fought with such distinction that at age 22, he had done acts for which he was later awarded the Silver Star. Wow. And then fought with guns, not with calculators, in Vietnam, and for that was awarded the Bronze Star. And above all of these, I don't want to keep bragging, I have an entire wall of my house that is covered with medals from my father-in-law. And that's guts. On the other hand, just gossiping and calling a person a name, that's not guts. That's not guts. And what do we need now? Guts. This is a very, very, very smart friend of mine, who's a leading Republican fundraiser for generations, Peter Flanagan, used to say, what it takes is guts. And I think what Doug has got demonstrated is guts. Guts to fight the gangs, guts to fight the gangsters, guts to fight the gangsters in the media who are fighting against the people, the honest, decent, hardworking people of a really, really great and very beautiful state, Pennsylvania.
Beautifully said. And Doug, to Ben's point, because we were discussing this, so I did a little research. You guys are 29th in America in the country in education. It's 29 of people having a full education. We just gave out, by this regime just gave out $300 billion. That means the people of Pennsylvania for student loans, oh, at least half the people in Pennsylvania are going to be paying their hard-earned tax dollars, and they never went to college, Doug. And I'm not knocking them. They do amazing yeoman's work over there. And another thing that we've discussed on the show is the shutting down of fracking. You have so much energy in your state, Doug. The contributions, $300 billion, Doug, if you opened up, would be nothing, Doug.
So, and let me drill down now, more stats. Let me shift over from college at 29 to public education. We're 12th most expensive in the nation, according to a 2020 National Education Association report. So 12th most expensive, now at $31 billion a year, $31 billion a year. But we're 28th in quality student before COVID. And I'm sure we're going to be in the 30s or 40s because of our shutdown that really handicapped children's education the past 2 years. And as a result of that here, that's why I'm pushing so hard for school choice. It's ironic, though, the Pennsylvania State Education Union, they're fully backing my opponent, and they're calling the shots. That's why Josh Shapiro sued.
That's always the way it is with the teachers. It is.
And that's why last year he sued to keep the kids masked up another year, even though there was no scientific reason to do that. I always believed it was the parents that choice and decision to do that. And so I push hard for school choice. I had not even released a plan other than some, you know, bills that I proposed in the Senate. And the PSEA, of course, is saying that I'm going to destroy education. And here's facts or stubborn things. Just in June, actually July, early July, I voted in the affirmative to increase our public education funding by $850 million. I mean, these people will say anything to win elections, devoid of facts. And that's what I'm pushing up against here, especially when the media amplifies whatever my opponent says, which is quantifiably constantly wrong.
Quantifiably wrong and morally wrong to lie to the voters about something as important as the issues we're discussing. Look, I love Philadelphia. I love Pennsylvania. I used to go to summer camp in Pennsylvania. One of my very closest friends lives in Pennsylvania. Actually, no, three of them, Julian David Eisenhower and Ona Murdoch Hamilton and her family live in Pennsylvania. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. Why shouldn't they be safe walking down the streets of Philadelphia, shopping or going for a meal or going to see a show? Why shouldn't they be safe? What does it take? Guts to fight the criminals and the mobsters and their buddies on the judgeship who let them out without bail, let them out without any kind of restraint on their future behavior. Here we have a man who has guts.
Let me ask you a question, Doug. Josh Shapiro, has he agreed to debate you? Because I can't see him winning a debate against you.
He's declined. I offered him 2 90-minute debates that he'd pick one, and we each have our own moderators, and then I'd pick one probably in Gettysburg, and we each have our moderators. Instead of having it rigged where it's, you know, me against him and, you know, pick a left-wing outlet.
Yeah.
And he declined my very reasonable proposal. And I'm really not surprised, because I agree, because I'll run circles around him. I mean, we're standing on the side of facts and reason and logic. And, you know, he's standing for his party. And that's not hyperbole. I mean, so why do I say that he's for the party, not the people? You know, when the shutdown happened, Josh Shapiro sued to keep the businesses shut down. When the shutdown happened, he kept the kids' masks up, a lawsuit. When the homes who had sickness introduced to them by the Wolf administration, instead of going after the Wolf administration for that science-denying policy that denied 150 years of germ theory by Louis Pasteur, he went after the homes that were ordered to take the sick back. And so that's why I say he's never stood in the way of a far-left extreme policy. And, you know, in the end, that's why we're going to win. Here's the thing. So we had two things. Josh Shapiro had no primary challengers. I had a tough fight. And obviously,
very, very. Not from just them, but from Republicans. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny because I'll talk to some of the guys that funded some of these attack ads on me. Like, Doug, you know, we're past the primary. I said, I agree. But, you know, there are consequences. You violated Reagan's 11th commandment. You know, thou shalt not speak ill of another Republican. I do know that it was actually an official in California that he borrowed that from. But, you know, we have to rebuild the damage from that. Plus, my opponent just spent $12 million and more hit ads on me. And still, I mean, and we're just entering the media market now, and I'm only three points behind him. I mean, that's a win. Additionally, I was in Erie a couple weeks ago with my wife, and we were speaking to the Fraternal Order of Police. And Josh Shapiro thought he had their endorsement because he's been the AG for 6 years, although his policies are anti-cop. And they refused to endorse him. I mean, that was another huge win for us here. So we're chipping away at this.
Did they endorse you?
They decided no endorsement, which is fine. That's a victory for us.
Which is like an endorsement
for you
against
very much of a victory.
Yes.
Go ahead. Because there's basically a union, a large union, refused to support the Democrat. So that's a great victory for you.
No, it's a great thing. And you see, Doug, I think Trump really ruined how people, I don't mean ruined in the bad way, but Pennsylvania's blue. It is. And Trump, in a sense, and Toomey for that, I wish he wouldn't have stepped down, are the outliers. You're running in a deep blue state, and you're 3 points behind at this point. And I don't think enough people realize that, because Trump, I think it was the first, since what year? The first Republican president since what, the 70s or 80s at least, to win Pennsylvania?
I think it was the Bush the father. I might be wrong in that, but I think he won Pennsylvania.
41, I believe. So I'm going to look it up. I believe it was Bush 41.
So you're talking about 32 years. At that point, it was 26. So.
And it's amazing if you think about your coffers versus their coffers and how much neo-Nazi fascist George Soros money he's spending on you to call you an anti-Semite.
You know, it's funny.
Really and truly, like, I've worked with your campaign, I've been around, and I get a sense you guys really operate on a shoestring budget. And that's why it's important for all of our listeners to go to Doug for Gov and donate to this campaign, because you're being outspent by over $10 million.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
You know, And I was in Delaware County yesterday, and I briefly obliquely mentioned, you know, the Soros roots, but I really didn't directly go after it. I said he's supported by some guy in 1945, Budapest, Hungary, you know, was a collaborator. And all the Inquirer did was attack that. That's fake news. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's demonstrably true.
Hey, us Jews, we know, okay? We know. Soros. He is not one of us.
And not only that, if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to Ben Stein. And for the record, George Soros is banned from Hungary. Yep. I believe he was pretty much banned in France too. But if you knock him in America, you're an anti-Semite.
I bet you he wears dragons.
I think we ought to ask, why was he banned in those countries? Because he was a full-scale collaborator, even as a very young person.
Yes, and that and the insider trading, trying to break the English pound. I mean, for a lot of, but the Hungary thing is a huge thing. You're 100% correct, Ben. And if you ever notice, Israel does not come to his defense. But if you just tune in, you are listening to The World According to That Man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. We are joined tonight by the future governor of the great state of Pennsylvania, Doug Mastriano. And again, Doug, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And of course, Adam King, who facilitated all this. Ben, I know you, and I want to get to you brought this up with the taxpayer money, and I don't think enough people are talking about the $300 billion of student loan forgiveness.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. This first came to my attention long ago when I was a student at Columbia, and Milton Friedman, the greatest American economist of the 20th century by a long way, said, at that point, there wasn't even a thought of student loan forgiveness, but there was a subsidy of the interest rate. And Milton Friedman said, why should a taxi driver or a man working in a cotton gin or a man working on in a factory painting cars, why should his salary be attacked and attenuated so that the child of an orthodontist, or the child of a law partner at a big firm in Philadelphia working for DuPont, well, that child's parents get a subsidy. Why should people who are going to college so that they're going to make more money, why should their loans be, again, attenuated, diminished, so that that's paid for by a person who's a hardworking person working with his hands, building something or digging something or making steel, for God's sakes. I think there's still some steel being made in Pennsylvania, although nothing like what it was. And why are we making the working class subsidize the intellectual class?
Well said, Doug.
I agree. I mean, we have hardworking people in our energy sector, and you mentioned that, and many other sectors, welders and what have you. And this doesn't make any sense. So you pick a major, you need to think ahead, you know, how is this going to be useful? Where am I going to work and pay off these debts? You know, I had an ROTC Army scholarship, and I paid it back with my military service. And so how is my decisions or anyone else's decision on a college degree a responsibility of the average citizens across Pennsylvania? This is a terrible idea. Inflation is already through the roof because of reckless spending. And, you know, I stand in humility before the great Ben Stein on this here. And I believe with this $300 billion charge added to our tab here, that even Jimmy Carter is going to look like a viable option compared to Biden.
Well, we have Doug, thanks to the Democrats. Well, first of all, I'm in no sense great at all, but thank you. But digging ourselves into a national ditch of bankruptcy. And I keep thinking to myself, we are digging ourselves into a national bankruptcy in order to subsidize kids who are smoking dope all day.
You know
what's going on here?
You know what's so fascinating about this? A year ago, Jen Psaki gave a press conference where they asked about student debt forgiveness. And she said, if Congress passes a bill, the president will sign it. And now he's going all at it on his own. He's not even waiting for Congress.
Yeah, and Democrats are running away from him.
And he doesn't even believe in Congress. He doesn't, as far as I can tell, he is not aware that there is a constitution and that the constitution requires that laws be passed by Congress. He doesn't believe in that. He thinks he is the Congress. He is the Congress and he is the executive. And he's quite startled and quite infuriated when the Supreme Court says, well, I think we're in the Constitution too. He can't believe it. He can't, and his followers can't believe it either. That's really terrifying.
You know, Ben, you said he doesn't believe it. I don't think he even really believes in student debt forgiveness. I think what he really believes in is bankrupting the country, and they can't get away with forking any more money over to Ukraine. So they need to do whatever's in their power to spend. And this is a $300 billion bubble that they just, it looks like a pretty girl at the prom to them.
Well, I'm afraid we go on fairly sharp divergence here, because I'm very, very much in favor of helping Ukraine stand up to a dictatorial, aggressive, fascist Russia. And I think if the NATO powers and the Western powers can stop Russia, I think it will show the whole world, and it will show the taxpayers of the United States, that communism, and you can call it post-communism, but it's communism, is not the irresistible force that we thought it was when I was a child. That freedom-loving people can stop communism and can stop aggression. Can you imagine, just imagine, if the people of France, England, Belgium, Holland, Denmark, Finland, Sweden, Norway had stood up and sent arms to Austria, Czechoslovakia, any one of the countries that Hitler took with just a puff of his breath. I don't know, he probably had very bad breath. And that's a frightening thought that nobody said anything. Now we have an America, and I do give credit to Biden for this too, although he's just following Trump's footsteps. We have an America and a West that is fighting for freedom. For gosh sakes, let's keep doing it. And yes, it's a lot of money, there's no doubt about it. And we Republicans, our job is to be cautious with the taxpayers' money. But if we can stop the Reds, and yes, they are still the Reds, from taking over Western Europe or North, South, Central Europe without American blood being shed, it's a miracle, and will awaken the whole world, and mostly, well, the whole world, by the way, militarily is nothing. But will awaken Americans to the fact that we still have the guts to fight for freedom and win. And this is your election in particular, Doug, is an election about guts. Who's got the guts? And I think that the man on this screen, not me, not Judah, whom I love, and not Adam, whom I love, you wearing the soldier's uniform, you have the guts. The people of Pennsylvania are very lucky to have you. Offering to serve the country and this very important part of the country called Pennsylvania, we're just darn lucky to have you.
Thank you. You know, and Pennsylvania, you know, we are the Keystone State, and all the states are important, but the Keystone State, you know, there would be no United States of America without Pennsylvania, and no Pennsylvania without William Penn. You know, and the irony, you know, of throwing around labels and accusing people of, you know, this or that by the other side. I mean, it's just so routine, you just kind of roll your eyes. William Penn was thrown in jail 3 times for being a Quaker. He didn't have the right religion in England. So when he founded Pennsylvania in 1682 and landed here in what we call Philadelphia today, a city he founded, he wanted us to be that bright, shiny city on the hill that Reagan talked about so often. And, you know, that's what's so attractive about Pennsylvania. You know, we really lost our way. Pennsylvania should be leading the way culturally in America and with the ideals of freedom and you know, the Constitution and everything that was framed here by William Penn. And that's why I do believe we have to get it right in Pennsylvania on 8 November, because this will help correct the trajectory of our nation. So why do I say that? I mean, I say that specifically because of the raw potential we have in our state. Geologists say we have centuries of, you know, of natural gas and coal and even oil, but below our feet. And we're sitting on about 8 years of regulation by of course, the Wolf administration. And so that's why on day one, I'm gonna pull us out of the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which is a carbon tax. It's like the Paris Climate Accords. It's a state level version. And we're unconstitutionally, you know, being entered into that by the Vice Josh Shapiro and Wolf. So on day one, that's over. We're going to roll back 8 years of regulation in any sector. I challenged Texas, you know, in a lighthearted way at the Republican Governors Association over in Vail, Colorado about a month ago with the awesome Governor Abbott in the room. My goal is to make Pennsylvania number one in energy production. That'll bring wealth and opportunity to our state. We'll become a net exporter. I had a commitment from the former Minister of Defense of Lithuania when I was still in the Army to buy, because we're a partner with Lithuania in Pennsylvania, so she wants to get LNG off of Pennsylvania. And so that will require us building a modernized LNG terminal off of Philadelphia. And I'm also looking at Erie as well.
Great idea. Should be working on it right now.
So that's my question to you, Doug. You have like these, you're a brilliant guy with guts, as Ben says. You're absolutely brilliant. I've listened to Shapiro talk. He's a lemming, okay? He's dead from the neck up. Judah Friedman said that, not you, Doug. But you that's the saddest point where we're at, and I've learned this from Ben, is you're bringing so many things to the table. You are bringing your guts, your charisma, and your brilliant ideas. And what are they bringing?
Name calling. That's it.
Name calling and voter fraud.
No, name calling and ass kissing the most violent sectors of the population in order to try to get their votes and the votes of people who are being most damaged by violence. I mean, if you look at the way the world is run in the United States of America, and by the way, there were some pretty important documents relating to freedom and to decency and the cultural glory of the individual written in Philadelphia. I think there's that's a pretty darn important achievement of Philadelphia. And I'll add, if I may, you have a museum to the Constitution in the great city of Philadelphia, and yours truly has an exhibit there talking about what the Constitution means. And if I may respectfully say so, the pride that the people of Philadelphia and Pennsylvania should have in making a better world for the whole world by creating these documents is boundless. And here's a guy below me on the screen, I don't know how he is on your screen, who has risked his life over and over and over again to bring these ideas of freedom to the whole world. And against him are people who don't want to let the ordinary American walk the streets safely at night. That's a pretty damn clear choice.
Extremely well said. And Doug, to Ben's point, you also, both of you brought up brilliant points, and Adam, you too. You brought up something that we forget, and this is something that Ben posted this on Truth last week, that the debate is the essence of America. And it's okay, you know, we're the party that it's sometimes it's sad and sometimes it's great that we don't always agree with each other. We don't always agree with each other. Republicans don't always have to agree with each other. But we bring up points and we bring up different topics. And it's so important that you're doing this. You're trying to go above it, and I get it. And I pray that the high road is the right road, Doug.
I think it will be. And just for the clear fact that I delineated, you know, Josh Shapiro does have a record he can't run on. And so they don't want to talk about this dirty laundry list that, you know, they call us extreme when they're the ones that think it's a great idea for guys to dominate girls' sports. I mean, who thinks of these ideas that we're going to roll back 50 years of women achievement on sports with Title IX, which just turned 50 years, you know, in June, and that women finally have similar opportunities and scholarships as men. And now suddenly we're going to put boys on the team there and introduce male patriarchy. You know, it's bad in Pennsylvania when I sound more of a feminist on the floor of the Senate than any Democrat did that one day when we were debating the bill. And Josh Shapiro cheered when Governor Wolf vetoed that legislation to protect women athletes. I mean, I can't make this stuff up. These people are just that crazy. So,
you know, Doug,
that crazy, and we're crazy. We're crazy about what people wanted at these incredibly important meetings in Philadelphia a few centuries ago. We're still bat crazy about that. I think that's the greatest glory of mankind, which also includes womankind. and the other side just wants to say, whatever gets us a vote, we'll do it. We'll pay for it with our next generation's money.
You know, Doug, I know that you don't want to be in on the defense, and we've spoken about that, and you want to be on the offense, and you don't want to do low blows and those kind of attacks, but I'm not Doug Mastriano, and I'll take one right now. I want to say it like it is. Josh Shapiro is a self-hating anti-Semitic Jew who would never be caught dead wearing one of these in public. And in the words of the great Dr. Martin Luther King, silence is acceptance, and he's accepting real anti-Semitism, real Israel hatred. And you, Doug, are an Israel supporter. And more than an Israel supporter, you're a Jew supporter. You support Jewish Americans. And that's something that is important, that it's not always about Israel. It's also about Jewish Americans. And that's really what defines somebody as not being anti-Semitic. And in the wake of all these defamation suits, like the Alex Jones case and others, you should have a right to sue him for defamation, because he's defamed you and the media has defamed you, unrightfully so.
I mean, I just might do that. I mean, and I'm really sick and tired of it.
You know, should the fact do that for the media.
Yeah, I agree. And especially the Inquirer. I mean, the hyperbolic, you know, hit pieces they do are just astounding in stupidity, yeah, and devoid of reason.
Sir, I have worked in the field of journalism for a large part of my life. No level of idiocy or cowardice is unimaginable.
Wow.
And they're afraid of you. They're afraid of you, Doug. And that's why they come out so vehemently unified with all the media sources together against you.
Listen, Adam, you raised a great point. It's an exceptional point. And Doug, I think that's the point we're all trying to get across to you, is get on it. Listen, we want you to be offensive. We want you to be we're giving you the hashkacha.
What is that?
We're giving you the kosher stamp to go after. Josh,
what's that called? I love that.
The hashkacha. We're giving you, it's like you ever see a product and it has an OU on it? That means you would never notice, but us Jews notice it, and it means it's kosher. And we're giving you the hashkacha to walk out there and say, allow us to do that for you.
Yeah.
Because Doug, you served our country. You're a freaking patriot. You are a hero. And I thank God for people like Ben Stein, who have made me so aware of how important. Ben Stein wrote a book called The Real Stars. And for people that are not familiar with this, Ben always knows he pales in comparison to people like his father-in-law, to people like his father, to people like you, to people
like my uncle. My uncle won the frigging, I was awarded the frigging Silver Star.
Wow.
For fighting against the Chinese and North Koreans at Chosin. And you're a military man. I'm sure you studied Chosin. Can you imagine what that was like? He was up there for something like 60 days without any reinforcements or without any fresh food or water. And I never bragged about it, never once. That's the kind of Americans we want on our side. That's the kind of Americans who can do that. And there are some. And one of them is running for governor of the great state of Pennsylvania.
And I think, Doug, so well said. And I think, Doug, people want to hear this. I really believe people want to hear what Ben says and what you say. And they just, it's so far to them. It's so far in that dream, that thing that Ben, that both of you were talking about of 200. It's so far into them. But I really do believe, Doug, people are hungry. They're hungry for people like you.
So I tell you, I am.
Last night we had a rally that I only selected a date for a week ago, literally, not making this in Lancaster County on a work night. We had 400 people. Friday we hosted Governor DeSantis out of Florida, and 2,000 people in the blue city of Pittsburgh came. I know when Josh Shapiro announced his candidacy in Pittsburgh, you know, some months before that, he had 50 people max. I'm being generous. I'm not complaining. I mean, anywhere we go, we just pack out venues. We just got off of a mini bus tour there, and everywhere we stopped, there was hundreds of people gathered there. And I do believe that we the people, you know, are pissed because after being shut down and, you know, told to shut up and follow the science and prove, guess what? The hypocrisy and duplicity, you know, literally, we'd be condemned for holding a reopened freedom rally, you know, in Harrisburg, and Governor Wolf condemned roundly by the media, you know, irresponsible super spreader. They're going to kill their parents and their grandparents. The next day, literally, you can't make this stuff up. In defiance of his own edicts, Governor Wolf went out with thousands for BLM rally, and nobody condemned him. And literally, there was a sign behind his head, Blue Lives Murder, and he's next to
him. Oh, my God. Yes. Wait a minute, Colonel. Yes. Colonel, I hope and pray you're kidding.
The sign is, I got the picture, and he's protected by two Pennsylvania state police. And it's like the typical hypocrisy of the left, you know, rules for me, thee, not me. And they're against the Second Amendment, except for themselves, of course. I mean, and it just defies reason. And
Blue Lives Murder, they have the incredible, dishonest sickness to say that in the United States of America. It's revolting.
And nobody in the media asked him to condemn that. You know, the media came out, will you condemn this outlet you advertised on because there's some bad actors on it that we had no idea about. And it's like the hypocrisy is just mind-numbing. And that's why I don't want to play defense. Now, I don't want to fall into their camp. So I want to talk about their dirty laundry list, how they failed Pennsylvania and how they're killing our businesses and how they're shutting down our energy sector and actually enriching Vladimir Putin. Why do I say that? There are energy restrictions in New England, starting at the New York state border here. We can't do pipelines across New York. They can't drill their own natural gas. And so we had a bad winter in 2018, and Boston, Massachusetts had to bring in two ships from Siberia rather than buying LNG, liquefied natural gas off of Pennsylvania. This is just mind them. The Germans are killing me. You know, Ronald Reagan warned them when they started importing Soviet oil and gas, this would be a problem. And it wasn't a problem in the 80s, thankfully, but it became a problem now. The Germans are so proud of themselves, they gave Ukraine $2 billion, you know, to help fight the Russians. But nobody don't know that the dirty secret of Germans, they're paying every month to Russia for oil and gas $2 billion.
I mean, they still got the pipeline.
Yeah, Putin is just laughing. The ruble's doing fine. You know, his single commodity energy sector here is just through the roof because of prices. In Pennsylvania, when I unleash the energy potential here, not only will we increase jobs and, you know, bring economic prosperity, break out of this recession that will be in for 6 months by the time I'm sworn in January, we'll be able to become a net exporter to the Baltic nations, the Poland, Hungary, hopefully Germany, and get our allies in NATO off of that oil and gas so to weaken Putin at the geostrategic level.
Doug, not only are you speaking like a governor.
Adam, hold on. Sorry, Ben, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, it's unbelievable. There was no need to ban fracking. There was no need to shut down the pipeline. The amount of whatever it is put in the air by the fracking in the United States of America is so small as a total of all the pollutants in the world and in the atmosphere of the Earth, it can't even be calculated. But it's enough to let us have to beg people who hate us for oil.
You know, I got to say something, Doug, I mean this. You really, I don't know, I'm sure you have brilliant people working behind you. I don't want Adam to say anything right now, but you need Adam in Pennsylvania you need Adam in Pennsylvania tomorrow. Don't say a word, Adam. But, and I say that with everybody loves Doug. Okay. You are one of the most likable, honest people we've ever encountered on this show that we've ever spoken to.
Military man. I know them. That's my wife's family are military men. On my father's side, they were military men, Jewish military men. You bet. Going back to right after the Civil War, and some actually during the Civil War. Incredibly friendly. In the military, you have to learn how to get along with other people. You can't be a prima donna in the military. You have to learn to get along with other people. That's why military men and women are so incredibly great to be next to on an airplane ride.
So perfectly said. And Doug, are you getting into the churches? Because we know there's an urban population that you need to get votes from. Are you going to the churches? Are you getting in there?
And the
and that's really our leg in Philadelphia. And so, yes, we're making strides in there. We're doing really well with the Latinos, and we're seeing Latinos breaking for us almost 60% or so. I mean, there's polls that say different things, but they are breaking for us. On the other side here, you know, the Democrats are the worst enemy. I mean, they just don't know when to stop. They just go so far. And I won't say Democrats, because there's a lot of mainstream Democrats, like some of my relatives, as you can imagine. The party has left them behind. So the left can't stop. They're drunk with power. You know, they watch, you know, in amazement what happens in Mar-a-Lago and just the, you know, the weaponization of our Department of Justice. It's very heartbreaking that we're headed down a path here where you could attack your political enemies alienate them, subpoena them, oppress them. But the other side, with laptops and lots of, you know, quantifiable breaking of the law there, and they look the other way. I mean, there's supposed to be equal justice, you know, before the law, and we're not seeing that in America anymore.
When we saw at Mar-a-Lago, this is the same law. What we saw at Mar-a-Lago was weaponization, Gestapoization of the Department of Justice. They never had any reason to believe there was anything seriously classified, anything that would hurt the United States of America if it were out on Trump's table. I doubt if Trump even knew it was there. And suddenly the police are landing there in the middle of the night with guns at the home of the former president of the United States just to terrify and oppress conservatives. The only purpose there was of it. There was no real reason to do that. They have a whole team, dozens, maybe hundreds of lawyers at the Department of Justice going through those boxes they seized at Mar-a-Lago. Have we seen even one whisper of anything dangerous to national security being taken out of the White House by President Trump and his colleagues? Even a whisper.
It's absolutely nuts, because the president, he has the ultimate and complete declassification authority. I had a top secret clearance for 3 years, 30 years. And Donald Trump, with a stroke of a pen, can declassify the most sensitive secrets. We saw this in 1979, Ben. You might remember Jimmy Carter gave a speech and compromised our technology of satellites being used to collect intel on the Soviets. And because of that speech, did the FBI go after him? No, he's the president. He just declassified whatever he said, became an unclassified fact about our technology. And so if there was classified in there, it clearly was declassified when Donald Trump was a president. So this doesn't even make any sense.
And it goes sorry.
I'm sorry. Just let me say again. This is so typical of what the Democrats do. There's no there. I had a distant relative named Gertrude Stein who said about the city of Oakland, when you get to the city of Oakland, there's no there. And there's no there in terms of all these supposed crimes of Richard Nixon, who was my boss, and I love the man to death. There's no there about Donald Trump and his supposed crimes. They never showed anything remotely resembling a crime. And this is the new thing of the Democrats. We say it's a crime. We say it over and over again. The New York Times joins in with us. All the big networks and the media outlets join in with us. So then it becomes a crime. But there's still no crime.
I know. And I want to say, just, Adam, I'll get to you in a second. Just, you have to really, just take a step back from, and when you look at all of these things and you look at everything, you know, obviously, as you've said with the Hunter, we could bring those things up, Doug, and it doesn't really matter. I just want people to get the image in their head that as he was leaving the White House, President Trump personally packed and carried 30 boxes. The guy, he had a McDonald's and a Diet Coke with him, and he left the White House with 30 boxes of classified. Seriously, think, people, for a second. Do you, in your wildest dreams, think Donald Trump, who I love, was carrying, Doug, 30 boxes? Come on, son.
Come on. I love that. Come on, son.
Yeah. You know, it's the same people that brought us the Mueller investigation and Brett Kavanaugh, the serial rapist.
Yeah.
You know, and I wanted to get back to this to you, Doug, is they attack us through mudslinging. And you're a man of war. We want to see our leaders throw punches. We want to see our men of war step up to defend our sovereign land. And that's what's needed right now more than anything. And in the raid in Mar-a-Lago, they went straight to nuclear, that Trump is selling nuclear. You know, you're right. Want everybody to panic, like, oh my God, he's helping.
See, now, Adam brings up another good point, Doug, is because you're the man that could do this. What you're the man that could actually do what
you
Adam's
are our
referring.
Soldier of fortune. Yeah. You are our hero, our champion in the arena. We need you to fight for us and swing punches. And we don't swing punches by throwing mud back, like I just did, calling this schmuck an anti-Semite. We throw punches by launching defamation suits. And if you think about all the media outlets that are picking up the Mar-a-Lago propaganda story, those are all defamation suits that these people, if our side is forced to pay tens of millions of dollars for very minor infractions, then they should be emptying their coffers to us.
Sadly, as Ben always points out, it's really impossible to win defamation lawsuits. they are years. And but that's not where I was going, Doug. You have the truth on your side, and the truth is you're absolutely brilliant. You know everything about Pennsylvania. You know what it's worth, and I don't just mean financially what it's worth. You know what the people are worth. And I've looked at your opponent, Josh Shapiro, and I can honestly say he does not know. And Doug, people like you, and to Adam's bigger point, you're so important because you know you're a fighter, but you're fighting with the truth.
You're fighting. Great. I have a very close friend, very, very close, who was in the Marines in the Vietnam War. And he told me at one point they had been misled by intelligence to go into an area that turned out to be swarming with NVA. And he and a couple of his colleagues were there on a hill with, I guess at that time they were Marines, so he had M14 and a bayonet, and they were going to attack like hundreds of NVA regulars, and they fought back with their very small weapons, but also with the knowledge that they were the last line of defense before these communists got to a village where they were going to kill all the women and children in the village. And they won. At the end of the day, they were just littered with red soldiers' bodies. That's what we need here. I don't want anyone being killed, but I want somebody who's not afraid to fight. And that's you, someone who's not afraid to fight. We're very proud just to have you sitting near us.
I appreciate that. And, I'm clearly no hero, but I've served with heroes. And I'm reminded in 1787, when Benjamin Franklin, here in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, he was asked by Mrs. Powell if we had a monarchy or a republic. And of course, we know he said, in his brilliant way, a republic, if you can keep it. I just spent the day at Gettysburg Battlefield, not too far where Abraham Lincoln gave his brilliant address on November 19, 1863. And, he goes back 47 years ago, 1776, 87 years, and then honors the dead. And his last paragraph really strikes me. And this is painted in the Pennsylvania Senate. That's why I know it so well. Lincoln goes on to say, now, after honoring the dead and the sacrifice for a republic, rather it is up to us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work. A republic, if you can keep it, rather it is up to us, the living. And I appreciate all you guys do by speaking truth to power, by standing against the darkness, and calling it out. We're up against here a force that's leaning towards socialism and the destruction of our constitutional way of government. Even when we practice Democrat elements within our system, for instance, we're running a referendum on the ballot where the people will decide whether we should have voter ID or not. And we're being sued by the Democrat Party, Josh Shapiro and Governor Wolf, to strike that down. They don't want the people to exercise their constitutional vote on that referendum. This is not a senator and rep deciding, as that's a constitutional republic. This is an element of democracy they talk about. You talk about a danger to democracy. That's the party of Josh Shapiro and Tom Wolf today in Pennsylvania.
And I don't think you socialists, as Ben would say, they're a bunch of Bolsheviks. And socialist is almost a compliment, Ben, to some of the. It is a compliment to them.
It is a compliment. Now, we're not worried about socialism means that they would just seize the auto manufacturing plants or the oil derricks and rigs and pipelines. We're worried about exactly what happened in Mar-a-Lago. The FBI with armed troopers breaking into a peaceful home in the middle of the night or very, very early in the morning to seize documents. It's unbelievable that this is not America. This is not America.
No, you're right. And I just, as we're running out of time, I just got to say, you had Mitch McConnell the other day, and I know we don't shoot our own, or we don't go after our own. It's not a good. It's not. But he had made this comment about weak candidates. You should be a guy like you, Doug, should be the poster child for the Republican Party. You are absolutely the poster child for the new conservative movement, and yeah. It scares the death. It frightens the Democrats. You frighten Democrats, Doug, and you frighten Republicans. You frighten the old GOP, Doug, mm-hmm. And you are a powerhouse. And I'm not just saying this because you're on the show, or I've literally from last show to this show, I would literally go on the campaign trail with you.
Wow.
We're begging.
I appreciate that. So thank you for having me on, and thank you for fighting the good fight and by getting the word out.
I've done a large part of my life doing commercials, And let's make it clear again how a ordinary person, man or woman, can get in front of his or her computer, take out his wallet, take out his or her credit card, and make a contribution. Tell us again in real simple language that even someone as old as I am and doesn't even know what a computer is for sure can do it. How do we do it?
Simply type in DougForGov.com. D-O-U-G.
Gov, G-O-V, or Doug, Gov, G-O-V, or G-U-V.
And I have both reserved.
How do we have Gov? How are we spelling Gov? G-U-V or G-O-V?
D-O-U-G, Doug, for Gov, G-O-V. But if you spell it wrong, I bought all the domains.
Number four, right?
Number four.
And where's the donate link in the website?
It's right on the front page.
Good. Donate here. Everybody find it.
One click.
And I'm so happy because I got to tell you, Doug, and for the people out listening, when you get Ben's seal of approval, it's a lot. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Take everything out of the equation. Ben Stein loves this country more than anybody I've ever had the honor of being around. And
it's the greatest creation there's ever been. It is the greatest creation there has ever been, the United States of America. It is paradise on earth.
And that's the message. And that's, Doug, the message we should be selling. It's getting back to that Reagan thing. It's really getting people to believe we're the greatest. We are the best. Yes. We can be the best. And I believe, Doug, that's what you're selling.
And I do agree with Reagan that, you know, our days are better. My best days are yet ahead. And so that's why you'll hear me talk about elements of the Abraham Lincoln's speech from Gettysburg, talking about a new birth of freedom. You know, obviously comparing it to that moment in time, I'm not. But I do believe we get it right in Pennsylvania on 8 November. Freedom will be restored. Our motto is walk as free people. You know, I'm here to defend all men and women's rights.
That's very good.
You know, Doug, I wanted to say, when you were speaking about LNG and setting up those ports, you're not speaking just like you are speaking like a governor, but you're also speaking like a president. And I think that's what shakes the GOP establishment, is they're afraid to make room for you.
And I think he's also speaking as a citizen of our country, as a father.
Republicans don't want to see polished people anymore. Americans don't want to see polished. We want to see grit. We want to see us reflected in our candidates, honest people who speak off the cuff and aren't afraid to say what's on their mind. We're sick of polished speeches and speechwriters, and you exemplify these traits. And I want to say one more thing.
Adam, you can't say you want to say one more thing and then say one more thing. So
all right,
very quickly, because we're running out of time.
You know, you have you're a tremendously humble person, and I know the left has the whole hero complex, and you say that you're not a hero and everything, but Pirkei Avot, the Talmud says one thing: if there's no man present, you have to stand up and be a man. And you did that. You did that in the hearings on voter fraud, and you're doing it now, and you're going to do it after November 8th when you're governor of this great state of Pennsylvania.
Get Adam on a plane tomorrow morning, ringing that bell that's behind you. I promise you, yes. Adam King.
We'll do synagogue tour.
After this show tonight, Adam will have nudged 7% points for you, Doug. I really just want to thank you again. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank the Rumblers, the Ranthers. I know, Ben, how humbled you are with the truth, with the love of truth. I know you love it. And we talk about it often. And I know you always like to thank our followers.
You bet. Our fathers who fought.
Followers.
Our followers and our fathers. Our fathers. Let's not ever forget our fathers who fought and fought and fought to keep this country free and to stop dictatorship and aggressive cruelty wherever they could. It's still going on. It's still going on in Europe. It's still going on in Asia, but we have men and women who will stand up for freedom. We are not going to lose.
100%. And thank you again for Doug for everything you've done for us. I want to remind people, DougForGov.com. We'll send out the links on our True Social. So Doug, if you yes, I will. We will start doing that immediately. Once a day. You know what? Once a day. Ben said, actually said that we got to get you pledges. Forget about, we can't worry about you getting money from anybody else. We got to get you money from the American people, because we know you are going to be the next governor of the great state of Pennsylvania. Doug Mastriano, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you. Adam King, thank you. Everybody out there that's listening, that's watching, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you. We thank you for the climb up in Apple and in iTunes and Apple Podcasts and all that stuff. Without anything, it's Ben Stein. And thank you from the bottom of our hearts. With that being said, Ben Stein, please take us out.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Beautiful. Good night, America. God bless America. God bless everybody. No matter what side of the aisle, we truly mean God bless you. And
God bless Doug Mastriano for governor of Pennsylvania.
You bet.
Brilliant. I love you guys.
Brilliant way to end the show. Have a great night. By the way, just for the record, we might not be here Saturday night, but we'll definitely be here on Tuesday night. Ben is traveling to Idaho. And so we'll be back with Jack Prasovic on Tuesday night, but we might do a Saturday night show. We will let you know. Thank you, everybody, from the bottom of our hearts. God bless you all. Have a great night.